Thank you and are grateful that you care so much about each of us individually and all of us together as a group and a family. And we do welcome you. Ask that you would speak that peculiar individual language that you speak to each one of us. And that no matter what comes out of this mouth, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart what they need to hear today. We ask that you would help us to have open ears and to hear your wisdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I had a conversation with Lanny a couple of months ago, and he asked me if I would in particular pursue over the course of several opportunities in the pulpit a particular avenue of teaching. And he was asking me to help us establish as a household a habit of reflective thinking and biblical reasoning. And that means teach us how to actually reflect in the presence of the Lord in such a way that it really changes who we are on the inside at our core. And so I left with that assignment and thought about it and prayed about it for a little while. And I realized as I was listening to Svetlana last week, she began at the beginning. She began with her testimony. She told us who she was and where she came from and the beginnings of her relationship with the Lord and how that relationship grew. And I knew that in order to pursue this topic, I needed to start at the beginning, at the foundation of it. And before you can even progress into a place of reflective thinking, you have to have a relationship with the Lord. There has to be some foundation from which you work so that you're in his presence in a way so that you can hear him talking to you. And so that's where I want to start today. That connection, that secret place, that dwelling place that the Lord calls us to, each one of us to develop. And one of the things that my husband and I do along with some other team members here at Prag is we help teach the premarital classes for those who are getting married. It's 6 months or six classes worth of homework and just delving into the couple's minds and hearts and helping them to see what's there and helping them to sort through it. And one of the questions I always ask is, why do you think you love this person? Tell me what it is about them that makes you think you're in love with them. And inevitably, the answer comes back in some form of this. I like the way they make me feel. Or they bring out the best in me. I like who I am when I'm around them. And they cause me to be a better person in my mind and in my spirit. The spiritual journey, that inward spiritual journey that Pastor Lanny and Mike have been leading us to discover from the beginning of the year, all boils down to that one foundational level issue. It's all about the love relationship. Most of us are wooed and driven to the presence of the Lord at the first because of something that's happening in our lives. Or some perceived lack of love. Something is going on and he uses it to woo us to him. And he has an agenda. And that agenda is to help us understand. Well, Toby Mac just says it perfectly. I was made to love him. And he was made to love me. That's it. That's the bottom line. And that's where we start in a relationship with the Lord. He completes every area of lack that I have. And his desire is to father me. And I want to just say right here, this is not the father that some of you grew up with. This is not the father or the uncle or the mother or the cousin who hurt you and crushed you and wounded you as a child. This is a father who knows how to parent. He created it. He invented it. It's who he is. And that Father is available to all of us. Now, we hear people throw around the term soulmate. He really is our soulmate. He really is. He's the other part of our soul that's missing. And He desires to give us that opportunity to spend time with Him, to profit from that, and to enjoy His presence from a place of being His soulmate. Now, the thing I love most about God in my relationship with Him is that He brings no baggage to the table. And I don't think, just in my conversations with people and my conversations with people just investigating what they need to work with before they get married, I have yet to find somebody that doesn't bring baggage to the table. Everybody brings baggage to the table except Him. And so today as we're talking, I just want to encourage and ask you to just look down. I don't know where it is. Somewhere in your seat or behind you, you have a backpack that is full of your baggage. And inside that baggage, there's all kinds of things. Wounds, words that people said to you, questions that you have. And in your back pocket, you have a list of prayer requests that you can just whoop, and it'll go to the back of the room. So that when you get into the presence of the Lord, the backpack is full and the wish list is long. But what I want to encourage you today is just for a little while, I want you to zip up the backpack and put the list away. And I want you to take the backpack and put it back here somewhere where you can't see it. So that just for a little while, you come to the table with no baggage and you meet Him at that place with no baggage. Because that's the place where you begin to understand the love that He's offering to each one of us. We really make this harder than it has to be. I don't know why we do that. I don't know why as humans we do that, but we make it harder than it has to be. In our constant working to make sense of our past and to be more effective in our future, we are like a constant simmering pot of thought. We're always thinking through what happened yesterday and what went wrong, and we have this list of things that has to be done by tomorrow, and we're constantly moving back and forth from this place. And we've lost the ability to be in the now. And I had the most unusual discovery of this. About 6 months ago, I had gone to see a massage therapist because some of you know I've had an interesting couple of years, and I had gone to this lady purposely because there were some areas that were in a lot of pain and just needed some of the kinks worked out. And I was laying there on that table, you know, that little hole you put your head in and all you can see is the floor, and so you're lying there, and if you're tired of looking at the floor, you shut your eyes. And so I'm lying there and she's rubbing my feet. Now, I don't know about you, but that has got to be one of the most blissful, joyful things in the world. Just lie there and have your feet rubbed. Well, maybe for you it's your shoulders or your back or whatever it is, but for me it's my feet. And I'm lying there with my face in the hole, and all of a sudden something makes me think of something at the office. And before I know it, I'm running through this little list. Where is that penny? I know the penny is here somewhere, so if I look here, I'm going to be able to find it. Or I know tomorrow when I get on it, I'm going back and forth in my brain, and I'm lying there, and this lady is rubbing my feet. And just as clear as a bell, I hear from that little quiet voice of my spirit, and the Lord says, "You're missing it." And I'm like, "What? You're missing it. You're missing it. You're getting your feet rubbed. This is a joyful, blissful thing and a time. And you're lying there, problem solving. You're missing it. You're missing the joy of the moment." And it reminded me, we've got to take advantage of the joy of the moment. And there are times when we put aside what happened yesterday, and we put aside what's going to happen tomorrow, and we concentrate on the now, especially when we're pursuing the presence of the Lord. especially when we're trying to pursue that inward spiritual journey. Now, as I was approaching this morning, I remembered how there was a time in my life where my biggest difficulty, my biggest roadblock to a relationship with the Lord was the fact that it was a being I couldn't touch. He was a being that I couldn't actually see. He was a being I couldn't actually hear. And it was this nebulous thing that I knew existed, but I didn't know how to get my hands on it. And as I pursued that with the Lord, He began to show me examples of the proof of Him. Like, for instance, the wind. We can't touch the wind, but we feel on our skin at the beach or a hurricane comes through, we feel the proof of the fact that wind exists. And we can't touch light, you know, we can't actually get our hands on it. But in a pitch black room, when you turn a light on, you experience the proof of it. It's there. There are so many expressions of God's proof all around us. And the thing that really brought this home for me was the personal experience I've had in the last 3 to 4 years. I don't know how many of you know my husband or what he does, but let's just say that for the last 4 years or so, he's done some traveling. Some traveling. You know. His company thinks he's going to do business, but God's sending him on missions trips. And he and the Lord just have a good old time when he travels. And I'm at home. He's gone with my blessing, my complete and total blessing. I would never get in the way of what the Lord's doing through him, where he is. But I realized that during that time, sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a month, I can't touch him. I can't see him because we don't have Skype yet. Apparently that happens when you get grandchildren. I can't hug him. I can't smell him and I can't kiss him. And all I have are his words. He's as far as you can get on the other side of the world, and all I have to connect me to him are his words. And so the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I check the email. And the last thing I do before I go to bed at night is I check the email. And in between, wherever I am, if it's at the office or at home, I have my world clock set to current time in Sao Tome, or Djibouti, or Lagos, or wherever in the world he happens to be this time, so that I always know, oh, okay, he's getting up and he's heading off to breakfast. Oh, it's the middle of the night and he's sound asleep, and he's got that international soccer game thing playing in the background on the TV, whether it's Italian or German or whatever, and it's playing so he can sleep to it. I know if he's left work and he's in his little green pickup truck and he's driving around the neighborhood looking for people he can pick up. I know these things. I live for his words. And his words are very powerful. He tells me things when he travels that we don't talk about when he's home. There's a piece of him that I get when he travels that I don't always see when he's here. Because when he travels, he expresses parts of himself that we don't necessarily have time for or take the time for when he's home. And he connects to me in a very unique, very intimate, very personal way. The things that God is speaking to him. Things God's telling him about his relationship to me. He tells me he loves me. He tells me why he loves me. He encourages me as a human being and as his wife. That was when I first really got the whole understanding of my connection to the Lord and my relationship with Him. Most of the time, what I have are His words, and He has my words. We connect on a very intimate level through His words. Now, we've got more than that. we've got the Holy Spirit. He shows up in anointing, and we do get to sometimes feel Him. We do sometimes get to smell Him. We do sometimes get that touch from somebody who is Jesus with skin on, because sometimes we're desperate and we can't feel Him ourselves. And somebody comes,
and they're Jesus,
skin on, and they touch us in such a way that we know Jesus has taken time. But it's His words that are full of power. And He likes to meet us in a place that He calls the dwelling place, the secret place. Back in the 90s, the Lord gave me a phrase, and it was a phrase, opening the door into eternity. And I think it was one of those nights the Holy Spirit had really showed up in power, and I'd come up here to get prayed for, and somebody had put their hand on my head, and you know, just it was like getting kicked back, and I fell down to the floor, and I'm lying there in the presence of the Lord, and it was like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He opened a door inside of me, and I went through it, and what was on the other side of that door was bigger than this little thing could contain. It was a door into eternity. You know, the Bible talks about He stands at the door and knocks, and those who would open the door, He would come in. And I developed this. And it's imagination, but it helps me move from the external life that goes on around me all the time to that place when I'm taking time to be with Him, or when He calls me or woos me, or I'm in trouble or whatever. He says, open the door and come in, and we'll look at this thing from an eternal point of view. And we'll spend time together outside of time and space. We'll enter this different place, the secret place, the dwelling place, and there the two of us will talk. He has words for me, I have words for Him. And something very special and intimate happens there. Psalms 91 is probably my favorite psalm in the scripture. This is out of the Amplified. He who dwells in the secret place, the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God whom I trust. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble, and I will deliver Him and honor Him, and with long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. What a wonderful visual this is for our imaginations to help us move into the dwelling place. A fortress is not a castle. It's different than a castle. A fortress is designed with thick walls and high towers, and it has little bitty tiny windows. And the windows are there just to shoot out at the enemy, to throw the weapon at the enemy. But the windows are so small that the enemy can't get the arrows in. It's a protected place where you're completely surrounded under the hand of God, in the shadow of God, where the darts and the weaponry of the enemy cannot get at you. The word dwell means to live in a place. You have to make a conscious effort to go there, and it's a place that you choose to stay in. It's not a place that you stumble into occasionally. It's a choice, and you choose to go there. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not a place where you go. It's not a church building. It's not a place that you visit. It's not a place you can walk to. It's an attitude of heart and mind. And it's just a turning of the head away. It's like the radio when you're in the car and you don't know what channel you want, so you actually physically go up and you just kind of turn it. And you're looking for the static to cease, and there it is, it's right there. It's like that. The world imposes itself upon us. We have small children at home. Maybe you're homeschooling and it's a 24-hour-a-day job just to get done with out here. Or maybe you work in an office and it's a full-time experience of somebody constantly coming in and putting something on your desk. We are occupied with the world. But that door into the secret place, it's just a focusing, a turning, it's just a little bit away. And it's something you can practice doing. Now, when we come together on a Sunday morning, it becomes much easier because we set aside a time and we try to put our baggage away so that we can give the Lord time to speak to us. And the thing I love about the dwelling place, about the secret place, is for me, it can be very individual, it can be just me, and it's just my little place. And I go in, and I look for the Lord, and there He is, and we talk. And the words He uses with me are the words from here. And I find such an interesting analogy in that, you know, one of the things I love about Brian is that being with him, just being with him for years and years and years and years, have taught me some really, really interesting things. You know, when you've been married for a long time, you've heard each other's stories. When you've been married for 39 years, you have heard each other's stories. You have heard them 500 times. But the thing, and you know, I don't think I've ever even told Brian this. When he tells me a story, and I know I've heard it, I never stop him. I never say, oh, yeah. I remember that one. I always listen to the story again, because if he's telling me the story again today, there's a reason why he's telling me that story again today. There's something that's happening inside of me, inside of him, that he's trying to tell me about that has application for today in our relationship. And so I always listen to the story. And he gives me the same grace, believe me, so that I can know what it is he's trying to say today. And the Bible is just like that. These are his words. These are his stories. These are his remembrances. These are his testimonies. And when we're reading through it today, I may be reading the same story, but he's telling me something different. There's an application for today that even though, I know that story, that can change my life and my spirit and my mind today. And so when you're in the dwelling place, you make a habit of letting him talk to you and you talk to him. And sometimes you get to share that. Like, for instance, when we come here on a Sunday morning, sometimes I like to just go up over into the corner and lie down and not sing at all. I just lie there and I listen. And it's like being caught up in a huge cathedral. And I'm in the middle of a huge cathedral of family who's singing praise and giving thanks and expressing gratefulness to the Lord. And that little dwelling place that I carry with me every day is enlarged to this massive cathedral. And it's the eternal realm as well, because it's not just us, it's the angels singing as well. And I just lie there and I feel all of us in my secret dwelling place. You come in. You come in with me. And I experienced that together with you. And there's something really, really, truly wonderful about a group of believers when worship like that is over and a service where the anointing has showed up is over. And when you leave as a family, there's some different flavor in the air. And when you look at each other, there's a renewed love for one another, a renewed grace to extend to one another for the circumstances of your life. And so we have these infinite possibilities in the dwelling place. It can be mine. It can be private. It can be a closet in your house where you can go and hide and nobody can get to you. Or I can take my dwelling place and I can enlarge it on a work day. And I can bring these two in with me. And the three of us can dwell there talking to the Lord about whatever's on our mind. And we do that quite often. We pull each other in to the dwelling place. Come on in. Yeah, sometimes she does have to pull me in. Hanging out with the Lord in the dwelling place changes us. And I don't mean by pleading or praying or just occasionally chattering in his ear. I mean just by being in his company. And this is another thing that I have just really enjoyed discovering about Brian. We have become like that old married couple that I always wanted to be. Well, we're it now. I don't know when that happened, but I do know this. For 39 years, we have been eating the same food. For 39 years, we have been listening to the thoughts that express the real us to one another. For 39 years, we have been listening to each other's stories. We have been experiencing life together. And for 39 years, I have been watching him respond to life. I have watched him love the people in his life. And I've watched how he makes connections to people that most of the time we don't ever even see. He sees the person behind the cash register. And he sees the person in the seat next to him on the plane. And he sees the person beside the road and he picks them up in his little green pickup truck on the other side of the world and really tries to know them. For 39 years, we have been praying together, agreeing on the important things in life. We have common goals. We've been sitting together in a room in the evenings, and sometimes we talk and sometimes we don't. When he enters my house at the end of the day, he brings with him a tangible atmosphere of peace with him. It just comes in the room with him. And it's accompanied by this feeling of safety and calmness. Now, the thing I want to say with this, and I really want you to hear this, everybody gets to have that really healthy old couple relationship with the Lord. Everybody gets to have that if they want it. I don't care if your husband passed away or if somebody in your life very special to you died. It doesn't matter if you were mistreated and there are wounds in your life that need to be healed. If you were left, that's the human realm. Everyone in this room gets the opportunity to be an old married couple with the Lord if you want it. Because sitting in the room with him changes you just as surely as what I've seen with Brian. Just being in his company, listening to his words, giving him an opportunity to fill my mouth with prayers that are actually wise and will actually change me and the world around me, watching what he does in the lives of the people around me, teaches me about who he is and his ways. And when I'm with him and I'm watching him do these things, it makes me want to be a better person. I love him because of how he makes me feel when I'm with him. I love him because he gives me the opportunity to be changed just by being in his presence. And that part of him rubs off onto me in the core of my being. I want to be careful not to make this sound like you have to go to this deep, somber, calm place where you've set aside life for an hour to be in his presence. I'm just talking about regular life. Just turning your head and paying attention. Turning on the radio when you're in the car and full blast worshiping. Or turning the radio off when you feel that little call and then saying, okay, Lord, what is it? Are we praying about something? We're praying about something. What is it? Tell me what it is. Tell me how to pray. Give me your wisdom. You lead me. I'm ready to go. As sitting in your cubicle at the office and saying, dear God, help me get through this day. Give me some words that will make a difference right now. This is real life, rubber meets the road dwelling place. The scripture often refers to marriage as a symbol of mystery, which is Christ in the church. So let's take it that extra step. Let each one of us endeavor to develop that long-term, knowing relationship that he offers each one of us, and let it come in and change us from the core of our being, from the inside to the out, and see what a difference that makes in our lives. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share.